You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan. Matt is off this week. He's in New York. His son is getting married. I'm not sure if it's Albany or Niagara Falls, somewhere around there. So he may be listening, but he won't be with us today, and you're stuck with me, but I think we'll get through this without him. I have calling in Maureen Miller-Brosnan, the executive director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association, who's been on the show, a few times, right, Maureen?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for having us today.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about the just announced MVCA Award, well, not winners, but nominees, who were just named today. And there's a story on my website. If you want to get the particulars of all of them, there's like three nominees per categories. And we have a variety of categories, including Exit of the Year and Community Partner of the Year and things like that. So we clearly don't know yet who's going to win. We were just talking before we started that I suspect there may be – I may have a good feeling on who the Exit of the Year is going to be, since Duo Security is just – well, that hasn't been done yet, but it is being acquired by Cisco for $2.3 billion. It's pretty hard to top that, right? So
it sure will.
But that's really good. I like it for a number of reasons. Doug Sung doesn't need any more money. He was already well off to begin with. But what's going to happen is when this is completed, there's going to be a lot of folks at Duo that have stock options. And so hopefully then they'll use those options to start other Michigan businesses, or sort of the Silicon Valley way, right, Maureen?
That's exactly right, Mike. And, you know, the one category that we have this year that's exciting in addition to Exit of the Year is the Up-and-Coming Company of the Year Award. And in that category, we have four contenders. And like you say, if the cycle continues and we see, investments panning out the way they did with Duo Security, we'll see more and more contestants in that Up-and-Coming Company of the Year Award. But in general, we're really excited about all the nominees and all of the categories and the annual awards dinner itself that's coming up. We've got a really unique partnership this year with Governor Snyder and the state of Michigan. The awards dinner is going to be hosted on Tuesday, October the 2nd at Eastern Market in Detroit. And Governor Snyder is using this event as the kickoff for the Start Me Up Michigan program, where he's looking to attract out-state investors to the state of Michigan for a four-day tour to showcase what's going on in the city of Detroit and the city of Ann Arbor. And MVCA's annual awards dinner is really a primary function in that four-day agenda, because we get to talk about all the great things and great people that are making Michigan such an exciting state to be investing in. So we think it's an amazingly great partnership. And then the wrap-up for that whole four-day event is that Renaissance Venture Capital is there on demo day, the day after our annual awards dinner. And, you know, that's just an amazing partnership there, where we've got Renaissance Venture Capital as Michigan's very unique fund-to-fund matching entrepreneurs with investors. So it's a full 4 days worth of activity that showcases the growing investment opportunities in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and so Eastern Market, that's a first. I've been to many of your events, they floated around the area from place to place. You used to go to St. John's a lot. That was big. And then you were downtown. I can't remember what the venue was. For a couple of years, you were downtown in November to tie in with Accelerate Michigan competition.
Yep.
So
yeah, last year we were at Little Caesars. Yeah. So this year we're going to be at the Eastern Market. Yeah, we try changing it up. You know, there's a lot of places that are very cool in the state of Michigan. And we think it's part of our job to shine a light on those places, as well as the people that are doing exceptional work here in the state. So, and along those lines, you know, I'm so grateful that you put your press release out today and put it up on your website announcing the award nominees. You know, last year we changed up our nomination process so that the board of directors selects the nominees, but then we open up the voting to our membership. And there are 300 venture capital professionals, as well as investment professionals and service support organizations, entrepreneurial support organizations in the state of Michigan that are members of ours. So they're going to pick the winners from some really exciting fields of candidates.
Okay. Now let's take a step backwards here. Let's assume some of these folks haven't heard of the Michigan Venture Capital Association before. So why don't you talk about what you guys do?
Sure. Michigan Venture Capital Association is the association for the 29 venture firms that exist in the state of Michigan. We advocate on their behalf, as well as put together a number of networking opportunities designed to bring together our in-state as well as out-state investors who are looking to be part of the Michigan community. On average, $3.83 of every dollar that's invested in startup companies in the state of Michigan comes from venture capital firms outside the state of Michigan. So it's really important that we continue to reach out to potential investors. There are currently 472 out-state investors that have put money in Michigan startups. And our goal as the Michigan Venture Capital Association is to make sure that we're always telling Michigan's story. And there are some great stories of not only wonderful investments to talk about here, but amazing entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And it's come a long ways. I came back from the West Coast in 1995, and there really wasn't much activity going on in the private equity finance area. And very few venture capitalists, very few angel investors. So I think we've made pretty good strides in, 20-some-odd years?
Yeah, we have, Mike. You know, we've seen a continual growth in not only the number of venture capital firms here in the state of Michigan, the number of professionals here in the state, as well as the amount of capital under management. You know, we're currently a state with close to $4 billion worth of capital under management. So we do have an exciting opportunity here. And you know, the thing we hear about the most when we're out there talking to people from outside of the state of Michigan is that they're always intrigued by the technology that's coming out of our universities and the way that Michigan investors harness that technology and bring it to market. So we've got some good examples of that here this year in our potential nominees, and just in a community in general in the state of Michigan that has embraced some fantastic ideas, most of them coming out of the IT sector this year, with a strong field of candidates in the mobility area.
Yeah, absolutely. That seems to be the hot area, mobility, and good reason here. We try to still be the mobility capital of the world. We may not have the brawn here anymore, but certainly we have the brains, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be a big part of Governor Snyder's message as we embark on the Start Me Up Michigan Venturing Forward event that he's planning. So we're glad that the honorees and the nominees reflect the activity, the exciting activity that's going on here in Michigan.
And if somebody wants to join the Michigan Venture Capital Association, why don't you tell them how they can do that?
Well, in addition to joining, they might want tickets to this event on October 2nd, and you go to the same place for all of it. Head to the MVCA website, which is www.michiganvca.org, and you can click on membership, you can click on events and get tickets. There are a lot of ways to get active and involved.
And what is the ticket price this year? I didn't look that part up.
Yeah, tickets are $125 this year, and our members have a complimentary ticket this year, so it's a benefit of membership.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So now looking at these categories that you have the three categories. I think that's changed over the years. It seems like there was more categories or different categories before. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think. No, you're right, Mike. And, you know, it changes every year. What we've tried to do is to really tell the story of Michigan. And sometimes it doesn't take as many categories to tell that story. In addition to the Exit of the Year Award, the Community Impact Award, and the Up-and-Coming Company of the Year Award, we do have the Lifetime Achievement Award. And while that award is selected solely by the Board of Directors, it is given that evening, and the honoree is not announced until the evening of the annual award. Dinners. So there's a certain amount of excitement around that fourth award as well. But the Exit of the Year Award is really designed to showcase, like you say, the Duo Technologies, Duo Security, Newtonomy, and Split are our three nominees in that category. We've got the Community Impact Award, and that is a new award that was created last year and given out for the first time, designed to recognize organizations, events, or individuals that are creating meaningful and effective connections, those that are kind of necessary, really necessary, to building Michigan's entrepreneurial community. And Renaissance Venture Capital, Tech Town, and Accelerate Michigan's Innovation Competition are all nominees in that category this year. And then finally, the Up-and-Coming Company of the Year Award category, we just couldn't limit ourselves to three contenders in that category. And that's kind of a reshaping of a number of awards this year and kind of putting them into a category that allows us to really recognize the new technologies and the new ideas that are coming out of the state of Michigan. So in that category, we've got Blue Medora, Clink, May Mobility, and Strata Oncology. And I think in addition to understanding that a lot of these nominees are coming from different sectors, they're also coming from different parts of the state of Michigan. Entrepreneurs exist everywhere in the state. So we've got representatives from Detroit, from Grand Rapids, from Ann Arbor, all represented here on the platform.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with all those companies. I've written about them from one time or another. So I don't have any personal favorites or anything like that, but it'll be an interesting showcase. That's why I would encourage anybody that really wants to get plugged into what's going on in technology or at least in entrepreneurship around the state to attend this event. I think it'll be good. I've been by Eastern Market many times, and I don't think I've ever stopped into Eastern Market, so that's kind of an interesting venue to host it at, right?
It is. It is an interesting venue. There's a lot of really cool, gritty stuff happening in Detroit, and Eastern Market has proven to be a fantastic venue to showcase some of that just hardworking environment that makes Detroit so special. So there's going to be always, you know, fantastic food, fantastic beverages, but perhaps what's most important is that this is the single largest gathering of venture capitalists in the state of Michigan each year, and we're joined by some really fantastic entrepreneurs as well as entrepreneurial support organizations. So, you know, this is Michigan's ecosystem all coming together for one evening of celebration, and somewhere between 250 and 300 people will be there. So if there's one night you mark on your calendar to really do something that is integral to Michigan's entrepreneurial economy, this October 2nd is the night, 6:30 at Eastern Market. That's where you're going to want to be.
Be there or be square, right?
You got it. You got it. Okay. And maybe your guest today, James Davies, that we predict can help predict some of these winners even.
Different kind of predictions. He didn't bring his crystal ball to the studio, though.
Or the lottery numbers.
Yeah, right. Yes. All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. Running out of time. So that's Maureen Miller-Brosden, the Executive Director of the Michigan Venture Capital Association. One more time, Maureen. How do they reach your website?
Thanks, www.michiganvca.org.
And this is Mike Brennan, and you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and we're back with our second segment. Say that fast three times. And I believe Tel Gennison just phoned in because I heard the chimes. You there, Tel?
Yes, very much so, Mike.
All right, great. And Tel runs a group called TIE Detroit. Why don't you tell them, we'll start with that. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about TIE Detroit, and then we'll work our way into the FinTech Challenge.
Yeah, so I mean, TIE Detroit is a nonprofit organization through which we do TIEcon Detroit conference that's coming up on October 6th. And this is through my company, Kaiba Innovations, through which we are hosting this $1 million innovation challenge for the entire U.S. And I think that's what we're going to talk about it right today, Mike.
We are indeed, yes. Because the deadline's coming up rapidly, August 30th, if I have my information correct, right?
That is correct. It's right up there. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about that. $1 million FinTech Challenge. Now, are you one of the national sponsors, local sponsors? I wasn't really clear on that part.
Yeah. So obviously, Mike, we hosted a Detroit FinTech Challenge. In fact, we founded Detroit FinTech Challenge, and we had one in April. So the result of which, you know, this challenge happens in three places in the U.S., Chicago, New York, and Silicon Valley. After the winners are identified, not the winners, I should say, the finalists, they go to India, and there is a place in India called Vizag, and they are trying to position that city as a fintech capital for India.
Really?
And so there, they go and pitch. So that's really what this innovation challenge is all about. So it's a global innovation challenge.
Begs the question, why Vizag?
Well, the government over there, they wanted to create economic, you know, activity in their region. So they are spending money. They are sponsoring this. And so we are, Kaiba Innovation is their North American roadshow partner. And so we are trying to do a roadshow at three cities. Obviously, you know, New York is a financial capital, and there is a lot of financial activity in Chicago. The other place is Boston, but I think they chose to do in Silicon Valley because they thought they could find some cool technologies coming out of Silicon Valley. So those are the three cities in which we are hosting. I was asking for Detroit, but then probably they said next time around.
Yeah, well, there you go.
They will do that.
Yeah, we'll get it down this year and then invite them in to come in next year. But certainly San Jose is a great location. Chicago, you got the commodity exchange there, a lot of innovative companies coming out of Chicago. And, of course, New York is New York. So
New York is, yeah, nothing can be said about that. So that's right.
So are you optimistic that we can get some Michigan fintech companies maybe at least, nominated and moving forward?
Yes, that is the hope, right, Mike? So because we did the FinTech Challenge, we created enough buzz in our region, bringing the banks, bringing the trading companies, and bringing service providers, the whole nine yard, and creating an ecosystem right here. And so I think the result of which, you know, we have companies already applying in there. In fact, some of the finalists and the winners of our FinTech Challenge are already applying for this challenge. So I think anybody out there playing in the sandbox of FinTech should take advantage of this opportunity. And, you know, where else they would have such a global reach and global presence and most importantly, connect with, you know, potential investors, corporations, executives, so on and so forth. So I think they have nothing to lose, right? It's free.
Yeah, can't beat that. Is there a maximum number that can apply or just whomever?
Whomever. And obviously there is a due diligence team. They will look at it. we are trying to maximize the opportunity. Like we are ready to showcase at least 30 startups at every location. So you have opportunity for at least 90 to 100 startups to showcase in front of the whole team at three different locations in the U.S.
Now, you're much more familiar with what's going on in the local fintech community here in Michigan than I am. So do you think we have any potential nominees out of our community?
Yeah, we do. There are a couple. I mean, they have already applied and it's being looked at. And once the deadline is over, depending on the criteria, you may find somebody at one of those locations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll keep you posted after the event.
Yeah, let me know if any, and particularly if any of our, now, does everybody nominated then go to one of those three venues, or is there a vetting to get into those three venues?
And they can go into any of those three venues.
Okay.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So whereas Chicago would probably be a good place for our folks in Michigan, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and you were saying that it's free of charge.
It is.
Okay. So what kinds of, I know fintech is a broad general term that, in fact, a lot of people may not really understand what fintech is. So why don't we start with that? How do you define fintech?
I mean, fintech is anybody in the finance, right? So in a broader sense, anything to do with money, that's what we define fintech is, right? So it could be some payment app. It could be some banking app. I mean, it ties into everything. Wherever you touch the money, that's what we talk about fintech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where this is going to be. So it could touch, data, analytics, business connectivity, a lot of regulations. I mean, the whole anywhere money flows, Mike. That's where we call them in a broader sense fintech.
Okay, and then I'm looking at your list here. You have two others. You have agritech,
yes,
and emergetech.
Yeah, so agritech, anything to do with agriculture, with a lot of IoTs out there, you can monitor the crop, water management, so on and so forth. So now lately, agriculture, heavily technologies are being utilized. And obviously, Michigan has an agri economy, so people want to go global. It's a great opportunity. And the third is emergetech. I think this one is more anything under the sun, anything under the moon, anything that is emerging. It could be artificial intelligence, even going to Mars itself is emerging technology. So I think the last one is catch-all. Anything to do with emerging trending technologies would fall under that bucket. In short, Mike, anything to do with technology, I think they still could apply and be part of this challenge. It's not just tied to fintech alone.
All right. I'm curious, why did Kaiba get involved in this? I know you guys have a lot of pitch competitions because we publicize those. In fact, when we had our own event, IoT Tech Connect, last April, you did an event, IoT pitch content. I can do it here.
Yes.
One of those days where I can't talk. What's in it for you guys? Are you looking at due diligence kind of thing, or what are you doing?
Yes. I mean, to be very blunt and specific, Mike, I mean, this is where you find Mark Zuckerberg's of the world when they were 2 years before finding the company, sitting in a dorm, drinking beer and eating pizza and tinkering around with these kind of ideas. And that's really where Kaiba Innovation is interested in to locate these kind of companies at a much early stage and really help them and take them to the next level.
And let's talk a little bit
about.
I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about Kaiba Innovations. Now, I'm real familiar with you guys, but this may be the first time folks have ever heard that name. So why don't you go ahead and plug what you guys are doing?
So Kaiba Innovations, obviously, we do a variety of things. We are an innovation and technology platform. And one of the things that we do, our signature event is the Pitch Club. We are also in the process of setting up an angel fund. And we also do challenges and competitions. So this is more like a challenge, And we did the FinTech challenge. Now we are, you know, making it whole across the whole country and then take them across to India. So now what we started as a small event in Detroit, now it is almost becoming like a global event now. And we also do corporate innovation. So we help companies break their silos so they can be more innovative and disruptive in terms of, you know, coming up with technology. So all those elements encompasses Kaiba Innovations. In short, all we are trying to do is really, how do we find the next innovative and disruptive technology? And how do you fuel them with investment? And most importantly, make them as a reality. And in the end, you know, create more jobs and investment in our region. That's really what Kaiba Innovation in a broader sense is trying to do.
Okay. And I think the last time we chatted, you were saying you also have a movie production company, right?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, I don't have enough time, right? So I'm bored. So I thought I'll start another company. And so I'm also into movie production. So we are two movies in post-production and two other movies we are in looking at the script and all that. We are pre-production. So one company, Kaiba Innovations, is more technological impact. And now the Kaiba Films, you know, through that we are unleashing and creative impact.
I'm kind of curious, what are the movies about?
The first movie is called Devil's Night, Dawn of the Nain Rouge. It's based on a Detroit's urban legend, Nain Rouge. Nain Rouge is, you know, in it's a French word. It means red devil in English. And it's based on our Detroit urban legend. We have, every year we have, in Detroit, we have Nain Rouge Parade happening. So this is really part of our story. And it's a crime thriller made in Detroit. And we're going to showcase not only this movie, but also Detroit and Michigan across the entire world. And we have actors from different parts of the country. So it's a global movie. And it is slated for release later this year.
I'll look forward to seeing that first one when it comes out.
Yes, and I will extend you a red carpet premiere invitation, Mike, because you're such a nice person.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
The other movie is Celebrity Crush, the original Poltergeist movie. There was a child artist in the movie, so now he's a director and an actor. So he's acting in the movie. So that movie's in post-production right now. So those are the two things.
And then coming up on October 6th at the, what is it called these days? Novi Expo Center Showcase? Showcase.
Suburban yeah. Collection Place.
Yes, right. I have to get the right name there. But it's a big facility.
Know.
Yes, it's out there, the big facility near Novi. On November 6th, you're going to be having your Tycon Detroit. Talk a little bit about that. We got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, so we're going to have this year, you know, we are talking about all about AI, mostly all about, you know, artificial intelligence. And we also have Brandon Jackson, a Hollywood actor. He's a Detroit native. He's going to come and keynote about how to rebuild Detroit. And so it will be very interesting. And we also have a boot camp. For the first time, we are hosting boot camp before the conference, the day before. So the participants can really get their feet wet and really get the whole nuggets, you know, in from a real people who have done the movie, seen the movie, learn from the tips and tricks from them. And then with that understanding, they come and listen to the, you know, various panels and keynotes. So it will be enlightening for them. So they'll have a much enriching experience compared to what we have done in the prior year. So that's a new addition to this year's Tycon.
Okay.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
We got a whole list then of websites to shout out. Let's start with the FinTech Challenge, since that's the one that's fast approaching. Where do they go to sign up for that?
Yeah. So they go to www.vizagfintechfestival.com. Vizag, that is V-I-Z-A-G. And the Tycon Detroit 2018, the website is www.tycondetroit.com.
All right. Well, that's Tel Gennison, who, wears many hats, as you can tell. Probably doesn't have much of a social life. All you do is work, right, Tel? So,
No, you got to see my social media, so you'll see how social I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's Tell, and I've known him for a long time, and he's very busy, very active in here in the city of Detroit and beyond. And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Mike Brennan, and you just have me today. Matt is on vacation. His son is getting married in New York, so we wish him well on that. And always a program note, next Monday, Labor Day, we will be off. I'm going to be taking my last four-day weekend, because after that, everything gets really crazy. I got all sorts of stuff coming out in the fall, so need to charge the batteries up. In the studio, yes, finally, in the studio, we have James. I always want to call you Jim, but you're not a Jim kind of guy. You're a James kind of guy.
Right? I'm a James kind of a guy. I know that makes me sound pretentious in America, though, doesn't
it? No, not at all. Not at all. So James Davies, the CEO of WePredict. Now, first time I heard of these guys when I was up at the management briefing seminars in Traverse City. Unfortunately, I was multiple booked that night and wasn't able to take the schooner cruise that you guys sponsored. But then one of your PR people approached me afterwards, and then I met with you guys a couple weeks back.
That's right.
They just opened a new office in Ann Arbor, and yes, they're hiring. Interesting concept. I love the backstory the most. I mean, you come out of Lloyd's of London, and I guess that explains that funky accent of yours, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they only let you in if you can mind your P's and your Q's. Yeah. But yeah. My background is I was an actuarial analyst at Lloyd's, and I used to price product risk for manufacturing companies. So we used to insure, as an example, a German car manufacturer might produce a vehicle with a 2-year warranty, and then a national sales company might need to produce the vehicle with a 4-year warranty, and we as the insurance company would pick up the difference. So it was up to me to price that insurance product. There's an awful lot of money out there spent on this type of
talk about billions issue. Of pounds, right?
That's right. It's like between 50 and 60 billion a year. It's depending on which manufacturing industry we're talking about, it runs between 1-3% of total revenue.
Ooh.
So it's a big number that's out there. So my history was that I came up with a statistical method that does a good job of predicting that. I assumed that my car company customers had a better way of doing it, and over the course of time, it turned out that what we had was unique because of the way that we'd come up with it.
And then you being an actual entrepreneur, you saw an opportunity, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so we started the company in 2009. Had a couple of day one customers, so we didn't have to raise any money. And primarily, what we were doing for both those car companies was telling them which of their issues that were emerging were going to be their biggest issues down the line. So rather than concentrate on the biggest pile of parts they had back today, point out a pile of parts that was going to turn into a big problem for them in the future. And obviously that can have huge benefits for fixing things early.
All right. So you've got something called Deep View. Tell me about that.
So yeah, so we're incredibly excited about this. We've managed to get our an agreement in place with a number of third-party data holders to get the repair histories, including customer pay, of over tens of millions of VINs in the United States going past over the last 10 years or so. And to just give you an idea about what the practical application of that is, you know, when with our car company customers, they'll often, you know, we sign huge data sharing agreements with them to, you know, promise that we're not going to do anything, you know, bad with their data. And obviously it would be over very quickly for us if we did. But everybody always wants to know how they're doing against their customers. So if you're making a 2018 Malibu, you know, you want to know how you're doing against the other 2018 mid-size vehicles. And up until now, that information just hasn't been available. And over the years, the AIAG and a number of OEM working groups have tried to bring these data sets together, but it's, you know, like herding cats. Nobody can agree to do it at the same time. So we proactively went out and sourced these data sets. And what it's going to, already enabling us to do is to tell everybody how they're doing at a component level for every single vehicle in every single segment. So if you want to know what the best water pump is to go out and buy for your mid-size vehicle, we know what that is now. And historically, that information just hasn't been available. And the use cases are, you know, significant and numerous.
I know we talked about this before, but can you give me, without naming names, how many OEMs and Tier 1s are working with you right now?
Yeah, so we're working with 6 or 7 OEMs and a few Tier 1s. We've beta tested the DeepView product to make sure that the comparative information is usable for our customers. And by that, what I mean is that everybody is using different part numbers, everybody's using different labor codes. And there was a fair bit of work for us to harmonize the definitions of the failures to make it useful for each individual customer. We've done that now. We really do think this is going to be a big leap forward in quality for car manufacturing. It's going to enable everybody to know who makes the best of every single component, and also to get ahead of problems that are happening on components that aren't on their vehicles yet. You know, in the past, when one of our customers has had a problem with, say, a transmission, and we knew that same transmission was going to be going on somebody else's vehicle, we would often ask the permission of customer one if we could tell customer two, because together, obviously, they can fix things. And you know, that happens on a, you know, a piecemeal one-by-one basis. You know, imagine opening up this $2 trillion supplier purchasing market with true quality information that enables you to source better and to spot problems before you've even put them on your vehicle.
Wow. And is DeepView available, or is it rolling out?
Yeah, so this the first study. So we're going to produce a biannual study that's purchasable in its own right. Mm-hmm. That's coming out later in September. And then we also want to work with our customers on a more frequent basis. So they'll be able to buy a service from us, which is quite similar to our regular service, which would see an update of that data on a monthly or a weekly basis.
And what you charge? How do you charge? Like on a monthly basis for this?
Or? Yeah, it's the initial reports that we're selling for September, and there'll be one, you know, March, April of next year, once mm-hmm. the 2019 vehicles are, you know, properly out into the field. We're charging on a very similar way that you would do if you were buying a study from a market research firm. Mm-hmm. But then if you're going to take the information from us on a more regular basis, then it's a subscription service through our information.
So as new data comes out, you automatically push it to the clients kind of thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously, you know, we're all obsessed with new technology, right? You know, we all want to know what's going on right now. So this data is going to be relevant to be refreshed on a fairly regular basis. You know, we're going to want to know what's going on with the 2019 midsize from our competitor as soon as possible, I think.
Yeah. Is there any similar analytics tool out there currently available?
So as far as I know, no one's managed to get this data set together before. It's an exciting thing. I mean, you know, we're churning through hundreds of millions of service operations in the background of these tens of millions of VINs. You know, we've got an enormous data set. I'm unaware of this being available anywhere in the world. We already have customers outside of the US who are interested in this data set.
Interesting. It's got to be mammoth. How do you crunch all these numbers?
Yeah, so we've got some very clever people working at the company. We've been very lucky to attract some good people back in the UK and also in the US. So a mix of computer scientists. We've got PhDs in physics and math and engineering. You know, we've got some clever people, and we're fairly mission driven. You know, we've known for a long time that we can, you know, seriously help our customers. It's it can be difficult selling analytics into customers, you know, particularly large companies where, of course, there's a huge amount of incumbent knowledge that you can't possibly possess. And, you know, we've been interested since 2012, which is when we really kind of broke through. IDC did a MarketScape study at that time and put us in the leaders quadrant with SaaS. I think there were six of us in the company at that point. And, you know, we were up there with these huge IT conglomerates. And, you know, since then, we've known that our stuff helps our customers. And even if it's a case of having two nets, you know, their net being their current system and our net being a slightly different way of looking at the information, you know, there's still huge amounts of value there, but it can take a long time to sell something to a car company. And
tell me about it. Yeah, we've been working with a very large one with two-letter initials on a project for about a year, and we're still working on that.
It takes time. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to turn up at the party with some value, right? You know, we don't have to wait for everybody to get into line or, you know, to get that third or fourth meeting sorted out. We wanted to turn up with data and with some answers that we can provide you with value immediately. So as soon as we walk through the door now, we've got something to say. And it's not just the OEMs, the supplier community is probably, I think, going to benefit from this more than maybe even the OEMs.
Keep them on their toes, right?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's going to end up helping everybody. You know, it's a lot of OEMs don't do a great job of sharing data down into the supply chain. So in fact, some OEMs, you know, aggressively don't do that. But we now have information on all the product in the market. So, you know, you're going to not only have a better idea about what we think is going to happen in the future, you're just fundamentally going to have a better idea about what's going on with your components that are out in the field, where, you know, the hearsay that we have from our customers in the supply chain at the moment is that, you know, you only really find out if there's a problem when it's a problem, right? You know, it'd be much better if every single member of the supply chain could be proactively fixing their problems and getting out ahead of these things and working in a true partnership with these car companies.
Wow, that's it's amazing stuff. AI, is that involved in this? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, we've got some clever stuff in the background. You know, we don't like to spend too much time, you know, talking about the technology. You know, we think the use case is the exciting thing about what we're doing. You know, but yeah, we've got some clever people doing clever things with this data to make sure the answers that come out are as accurate as possible.
Ah, and so the reception from your target audience has been fill out the blank there.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of amazement and, you know, a certain amount of disbelief. You know, first question is, where did you get the data from?
Right. How reliable is it?
How reliable? Right? We've partnered up with Butzel Long, a automotive law firm in Detroit, and you know they've certified our data sources, so you know we're allowed to do what we're doing with this information. I think we've built up a track record over the last 5 or 6 years with everybody that we've interacted with of being good at doing the forecasting work. So I think the reason that we've been able to do this is that you can't benchmark properly unless you do good predictions, right? Because everybody's product is going out into the market at different velocities. So, you know, a 2019 Civic is in a very different place in its maturity to a 2019 Malibu, because the 2019 Malibu's maybe been out on the road for 6 months more. So in order to do a fair cross comparison, you need to be able to do the predictive work that we do to say, okay, once this car's been in the field for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, this is where we're going to be. And that's why we can compare one to the other.
Little less than 2 minutes left. Let's talk about, you just opened your Ann Arbor office. I stopped in there a couple of weeks ago, and there was just four of us there.
That's right.
So have you added any more bodies since?
We're actively hiring. We're keeping most of the brain trust in the UK, but we have brought a couple of people over here to help us engage with customers. Certainly looking for people in the Michigan area to help us take the message out to tier ones and OEMs that there's a new way of looking at quality.
And since Matt isn't here, I have to ask the Matt question. What sort of people are you looking for?
I think we've learned that the most important thing about delivering analytics is having great domain expertise. You know, we're pretty good at math. We're pretty good at statistics. We want people who have got a deep understanding about the relevance of the information for the people that we're selling it to's working lives. So, you know, if you've got experience of working in quality and working with data, and I think actually probably selling a little bit too, that would be great.
Selling's always great.
Yeah.
All right, that's James Davey, CEO of WePredict. Main office is in London, right?
So we started off in London. Our main offices are now in Wales, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
By the sea.
And now, the only U.S. office you have is in Ann Arbor, or do you have others?
No, we're in Ann Arbor. We do have a couple of humans elsewhere who are, working out of WeWorks. But yeah, this is the place.
All right. And so if they want to find out more, tell them how to do that.
Yeah, so our website is wepredict.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm a very open communicator, so you should be able to track us down one way or another.
Okay. Well, again, that's James Davies, CEO of WePredict. We'll be right back with another segment of M2 TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, that was Foster Brown, and Matt Rosch normally is here, but he's on vacation this week because his son's getting married in New York, so you're stuck with me, but we've done it so far so well, right, Jessica? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging in there, right? Okay, yeah. Good. So we have with us Robert Sanders, the president and CEO of Managed Way, who's you were on the show about a year ago, I believe, weren't you?
It was probably about a year. Time flies, but I'd say
That Pat Liebler guy is always talking to me about his clients, so I thought, what the heck? Let's see what Robert has to say. So you have an interesting background. You started your company in 2005. You're electrical, mechanical, aerospace industry. You worked for the FAA, a small space organization called NASA. And so lots of airplanes. So where does airplanes fit with Managed Way?
Well, it didn't really fit. When I was working with hydraulics, it was a number of years back. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of computer controls and automation. So we started developing a computer-controlled calibration equipment for doing FAA certifications of hydraulic components. And I kind of discovered I liked working with the computers more than I liked remanufacturing and certifying hydraulics.
Yeah, makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, and then I started down my own path at that point, pursuing computers and technology.
And while certainly no industry has evolved as quickly over the past decade as IT, what changes have you seen in your particular niche? What's hot?
Oh, there's so many changes. One of the things that we're currently evolving is the transformation to 100 gigabit.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our carrier peers, we're rolling over to 100 gigabit peering points with our partners, and then also a number of customers are coming on board and connecting to us with 100 gigabit network connections.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the scale and the growth in the network technologies, it wasn't that long ago that a gigabit was tremendous. And then,
right.
Oh, look at the 10 gig. And then I guess you could say 100 gig is the new 10 gig. And, just watching the industry develop over time. We used to have a 10 megabit commitment, for example, years and years ago. And now that's just a little drop in the bucket.
So 100 gigabit, how do you put some scope on that so people understand how big that pipe is? I mean, that's a big number, but, what does it mean?
Yeah, it's a big number.
How much can you move a lot of video, for instance, on that? Or
yeah, I don't have a lot of I don't have like a good reference point off the top of my head, but normally 100 gigabit would interconnect a large number of things. So like, school districts or, data centers or, other concentrated users, like an office, an entire office complex wouldn't need 100 gig.
Right. It is a big number. That's
it's a very
sure.
big number.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're seeing it more and more and we're seeing the costs associated decline as the technology becomes more prevalent.
Okay. So one of the things, you know, it's tough for a business to measure who should they be partnering with in IT because there's a gazillion of them out there and they all sound alike, right?
Yeah.
So how do you tell the difference or how do you differentiate on services and infrastructure? I mean, how are you guys different from the others?
Well, we're different in a number of ways. It would depend on the perspective. In a number of instances, you know, we're large enough to deliver this type of service, but we're small enough to still care about the account.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our competitors, they're so large that when you pick up the phone, it doesn't matter if you bought 1 gigabit or 100 gigabit. They really wouldn't, you know, they don't really appreciate your business like we would.
Right.
So, you know, one of the ways that we're different is we're large enough to deliver these services, but still small enough to care about the account.
I guess begs the question, how large are you in the sense of how many data centers do you have? How many employees do you have?
So we own 2 data centers in Troy.
Mm-hmm.
We lease in Michigan. We have stuff in, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we're in an additional, I think it's 12 in North America, including Toronto. So we're in like Los Angeles, Virginia,
so you
Chicago.
Can do load shifting all over the country and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So we can provide IP transit and transport services across the country. And we're in the process of stitching that together to form our national network.
So Amazon Web Services, look out, Robert's coming, right? Jeff Bezos should be worried,
Jeff,
right?
Should be worried. Okay. We're gunning for him.
Okay, I'll give him a call and I'll let him know you're coming. So what else is new with ManageWay these days?
Well, you know, we're growing. We're looking to hire talented people, looking for experienced leaders, and then also, you know, people that have a passion and aptitude that may want to get their foot in the door. You know, so as the company grows, we're trying to bring on more and more people.
Do you have particular folks you're looking for or just across the board?
Well, I mean, our core disciplines like networking, we need more people in networking. The growth has been phenomenal. Our current team is great, but you know, we want to add to that team and expand and grow. I feel like we're overworking some of them now, so I feel bad for them.
The new economy has worked twice as hard for half the money, right?
So, yeah, that's – and I feel like we need to add some more people on the staff to alleviate some of the pressure on our networking.
So what are you at, 30, 40, 50 people? Where are you at?
We're just over, I think, 30 people.
30?
Yeah.
Good number. All right. Gosh, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how fast everything is getting. Do you got 100 gigabits now? Is there an upper limit here? Are we going to be in terabits next or what?
Well, I mean, some systems that handle, you know, let's call it the backbone,
mm-hmm.
are operating in the terabit per second range.
Uh-huh.
So we're not quite to that point yet, but yeah, it's as the internet grows, terabits is certainly part of the scale.
Okay. You do a lot of offsite stuff with servers, right? Or not?
Well, lots of times we're the offsite. So a company might have a deployment at their premise and they need to replicate that business continuity, disaster mm-hmm. recovery. So oftentimes we're the offsite for them. Many times we'll build fiber into their facility and then, you know, replicate their systems into one of our data centers so that they, you know, if something happens with their headquarters, you know, all their data is safe in our building.
And so you sort of play the role of their CIO, as it were, or not?
Well, not usually. We wouldn't, like, take their role, but their CIO would use us in his planning.
Okay.
So we normally wouldn't replace a company staffing, but we would provide support and services.
What some of the other big trends do you see right now out there in data? I mean, what are you guys taking a look at over the horizon?
Well, one of the things that we're pushing forward is with our cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd mentioned Amazon.
Right.
You know, we're taking a more concentrated approach. So we have the cloud services that we built here in our hometown in Michigan and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just now turning up stuff in Amsterdam, for example.
Really?
And then we have a few other, you know, locations in the U.S. planned as well. I think probably the next U.S. will be Los Angeles. And then after Los Angeles, we'll probably do Toronto with trying to expand on a more national and international basis for infrastructure as a service. So our existing customer base is a lot of networking, a lot of IP transit, transport, and then facilities like colocation, Those products are going well, and then we're using that to build out our infrastructure as a service or cloud service. So we'll have a wider footprint for providing cloud services and in a competition to Amazon, as example. And then that also gives us the ability to replicate data between the regions as well and make that easy for the CIO. So when they work with us, we have all these solutions in place, and then they can just – we can help them solve their problem.
So you do disaster recovery, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, disaster recovery between the different zones. So if you had – say you had fiber from us, and then you deploy it in our cloud because it's local and then it's high speed and it's on net. Mm-hmm. Now you want to replicate that somewhere. We could make it literally a checkbox to replicate that to Los Angeles or to somewhere else in the U.S. A lot of people don't want to take that international, depending on the business needs.
Yeah, that's a little dicey going international. You never know. Those dang Russians are everywhere, right? So our Chinese or Eastern Europeans that – all the money is in black hat hacking. I mean, that's where all the best people are. So it's an interesting arms race escalating out there in cybersecurity.
Well, it's a tug of war. The security, it's always going to be a back and forth. And a lot of the people are actually on both sides. So they're discovering the vulnerabilities and then fixing them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting world out there. A lot of people are a little nervous. Are you seeing that a lot in your customers? Are they really worried about cybersecurity?
Yeah, it's. I think it's something that a lot of people are conscious of, and that's one of the reasons why they turn to organizations like ours. We have – we're SOC 2 Type 2 compliant, and those types of controls, having those in place, help with a lot of security aspects, who comes and goes, access points, cameras, the things that we use as organizational controls, help provide security.
BYOD, are you getting a lot of customers still want to use that? I mean, that's to me one of the real stupid things to do. I mean, unless you can really control that, right?
Well, it doesn't impact us from an infrastructure and service point of view, but internally, I like some aspects of BYOD for ourselves. I know I don't want to carry two phones in my pocket.
Yeah.
So it's been something that we've tried to balance and manage. For instance, we use some of the Google services. I know evil competitors, but. One of the things that's interesting about our industry is a lot of competitors are customers.
So we use
Google services to help manage some of our information. But it helps because they have a lot of controls in place to protect our information when it's on different devices. So like forcing work profiles, and then within that work profile, forcing passwords, forcing encryption. So I think, handled correctly, BYOD is it can be beneficial, but it does present a risk if it's not managed well. Your information could be exposed.
It seems like a lot of two-factor authentication is going on. I can't log into anything anymore without wanting a code that it sends me on my phone or on wherever my second factor is, right? That's the big thing.
Yeah, it helps to keep from brute force attacks and somebody that may have compromised some of your information.
And another tactic is those security keys, right? You plug the security key in, and only you can have the key, right?
Yeah. It's two-factor. It's something you have and something you know.
Right.
Oftentimes the thing that you know is your password, and the thing that you have is the key you have to plug in.
Right. Yeah.
Or a one-time token, like a key fob.
I find it interesting, the Obama group, that's how they never got hacked, was they all carried keys with them so that when the bad guys tried to get in, they couldn't do it. So same thing with, I think it was Google. They were saying all the Google employees carry keys so that they can't be hacked too, right?
Yeah, all of our internal stuff uses two-factor.
Okay.
And I've noticed our financial service customers and our partners require it of us too. I can't even log into my bank account if I had to. I have to have this little token. And
well, I mean, they're better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah. It was frustrating at first, but I'm becoming used to it.
Okay, we got less than a minute left. According to Jessica here, she just gave me the finger, the good finger, though, right? So, Robert Sanders, CEO of Managed Way. How do folks reach out to you or Managed Way?
Well, our toll-free number is 888-745-6948, and then always managedway.com.
Sounds good. I'd encourage folks to check it out. Also, we're at the end of M Squared TechCast for this week. And again, program note, we're taking off next Labor Day so that Matt and I can take a little break. And Jessica, too, right? You going somewhere fun?
No, I don't know yet. I'll figure it out that day.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast, and we'll be back. See you in September.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.